Oh, hello there. It's the titular Matt Stewart letting you know that I'm going to be in Sydney, Australia, and then Brisbane, Australia, doing short runs of my show, Dryer Dryer. Sydney from the 8th to the 12th of May, Brisbane from the 16th to the 19th of May. Hey, but also, you might not know this, I'm doing a live Who Knew It with Matt Stewart in Sydney on the 13th of May and in Brisbane on the 14th of May. Holy moly, am I looking forward to these shows. Please get tickets for all of these now. If you use the discount code DOGOON, that might work. I'm not sure, but worth a try. Really hope to see you there. Sydney especially, please come along. Brisbane also, though you're buying tickets earlier, better. Sydney lift, please. All right, I'll see you soon now. On with the show.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome to Who Knew with Matt Stewart, the show where the guests write the wrong answers. I'm the titular Matt Stewart. Our first guest today is the host of the SBS food show, Good Tucker. It's Saranjay Mana.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
Our second guest is host of the Triple J Lunch and touring his show Black and White. It's Dave Woodhead.
Hello. Good afternoon. Good evening. Whenever you're listening. I go straight to good afternoon.
No, this is going out live. So that's right.
This is going out live? Yeah, oh, yeah. Perfect. I work. And when do we chuck on the G Flip song? what minute do we throw that on?
Well, I think if it's like your show every half hour on the
exactly. I'll just put it up to my phone.
Our third guest is touring Australia currently with their show Oh the Horrors. It's Grace Jarvis.
Hello. I always love when people try to find accolades for me to introduce me to stuff. I was doing these corporate gigs the last few nights and that MC is just like, she's killing it, man. Like, she's killing it. I don't have any kind of, like, actual, like, no organization has decided she's killing it, but I have. I was like, well done, man. You've done your best.
See, it can get worse.
Yeah?
I think the worst one is like, man, I've seen them all around town.
Oh, I've had that before
they've
as well.
Popped up.
She's gigging. She's on gigs.
Oh, man. I've seen him. Yeah. He's definitely around.
He's around.
I had the other night.
They exist. Yeah.
Paul McDermott.
They're certainly here this evening.
Paul McDermott hosted our a lineup show the other night, and he introduced me as I just met him backstage. He had a pretty good handshake or something like that. I like that. I can't believe he said my name.
Sometimes you only have a certain amount of information.
Yeah, that's right.
And yeah, he's been in business.
He's a redhead.
Beard.
Tallish.
Look, yeah, slightly taller than me. Wearing
took
a
the tram
t-shirt.
Here, so we're going to hear about that, I reckon.
I mean, he's been around show business for a long time. He can stretch.
Yeah,
he knows how to stretch. You know?
That's right. So the way the show works is I ask a relatively obscure trivia question and our contestants have to write a convincing fake answer. I then read their answers as well as the real one and I have to guess which one is correct. And the first question this week comes from listener Bella from Sydney. And the question is, what is social loafing? What is social loafing? Well, they're writing their answer. I'll explain how the scoring works. So you get 1 point if your fake answer is guessed by the other contestants and another point if you correctly guess the answer. And by the way, I'm also playing as the house. I've put in two of my own fake answers for each question. And I get a point for each one of those that our guests choose. So each of us can score up to 3 points per round, which seems fair. But the probability actually favors me, the house. And that's why we've given the guests triple points in the final round to even things up. Anyway, our questions come from our great Patreon supporters. And if you want to submit a question, sign up on any level via patreon.com/dogoonpod, which is linked in the show notes.
I have to say, the reason we're doing this record is because we did a live podcast and the audio was terrible. And I've never cared about the points before in the studio, but on the night, everyone was real deflated.
Yeah,
I was like, I guess we should have been trying harder.
That was not a crowd that was on board with the house.
No.
Big booze. I think that's probably...
Anti-house.
I think, you know what? That's probably why that file... was so
corrupted.
Shitty. Yeah, corrupted, I reckon.
The conspiracy theory.
Yeah. The audience member just poured their drink onto the soundboard going, no one will hear of this.
Anyway, question one answers are in.
We're so good at podcasting.
What is social loafing? When two consenting adults lie on top of each other in a public space, like a beach or park. Yeah, sorry, I do need glasses. A TikTok trend inspired by a comfortable style of men's shoe where people bake bread in a town square. That's where I was getting the square from. Social gatherings without any goals, plans, or commitments. When someone puts in less...
Sounds like loitering to me.
When someone puts in less effort when they're judged as part of a group. A San Franciscan subculture of baking sourdough bread with friends or rolling down a big hill, but in a group of friends. It's a lot of... it's very friendly, this one for sure. Mm. So you got lying on top of each other in a public space. TikTok trend inspired by comfortable men's shoes. Baking in a town square. Social gathering without any goals. When you put in less effort when you're being judged as part of a group. San Franciscan baking with friends or rolling down a big hill with friends.
I would say rolling down a big hill with friends.
Yeah, I feel like that is the correct answer because it's got to be interesting enough that they've picked it. And the San Francisco baking with friends just seems too plain Jane.
Yeah, that's not an activity.
Yeah.
That's like
it doesn't anyone need a name. Could do that. That doesn't need a name, yeah.
I can also imagine that, like, you know, it's a story of, back in, you know, the day, there was a little boy who would throw bread down the hill and they'd always go, oh, Billy, don't do that. But then everyone started joining him they ran out of bread. Then they all had to roll down the hill together. Like maybe it's like a little
become
story.
The bread.
It's a race to get to the bread. Yeah.
Yeah. Something like that. I imagine it's something kind of like the cheese rolling. Roll?
Yes.
Yeah.
You locking that in as well?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, why not?
What about you, Grace?
I'm going with social gathering with no goals, I reckon.
The loitering one.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, here's who wrote the answers. Two consenting adults lying on top of each other. That was Dave Woodhead.
That was me.
What is that meant to say? In a public R.
Public area.
Area. And you know what? Just one letter off and I could not make sense of it.
Sorry, you know what? My bad. I also, when I was reading it, and tell me if it would be more believable if it was like, I was going to put at the end, usually, like a popular Norwegian. Like it's a Norwegian thing.
Yeah,
like,
if you make it sound Scandinavian, anyone will believe it.
Yeah, yes. Yeah, because I could imagine like the two rules, like you have to be adults. You can lie on each other, but like I imagine it's like someone can just lie on top of you, like face down or something.
Yeah,
this is unironically a thing I enjoy. The only because I'm autistic. We're really bad at regulating our own nervous systems, and that's what like weighted blankets are for. And I'm only ever jealous of my friends in relationships when I want someone to lie on top of me with their full weight.
The human weighted blanket
just re-regulate my heart rate. there should be a service for that.
I think there is. There's professional huggers.
Yeah. Oh, that's true, actually.
Yeah. TikTok.
You're going to waste all your money on professional huggers. That's Grace. She doesn't start drinking or doing drugs. She's like, oh, God. Grace, what are you doing? You can't blow $3,000 on hugs, dude.
Grace is in a lot of trouble.
Yeah.
Jeez.
And you're like,
a very specific kind of trouble.
You're like strung out. Like you're like, come on, man! I'm the most relaxed I've ever been. It's all these fucking hugs, Grace. You wasted it away with these fucking hugs.
The TikTok trend inspired by comfortable men's shoes. That was Saran. San Franciscan subculture. That was The House. The House also wrote social gatherings without any goals, plans or commitments. That was Bella in particular. Rolling down a big hill in a group of friends. That was Grace.
Yep. Oh, well done, Grace.
Yes.
Meaning the correct answer was when someone puts in less effort when they're judged as part of a group. You know, like a uni group project or something like that.
Yep.
You sort of just get to hide in the group.
Yeah, right.
Apparently you're social loafing. Is what you're up to.
Do a true crime podcast on what happens to all the people in a group chat when you try and do a group project at uni. It's like, oh, I've dropped out. Oh, my dad's dead. Oh, I've lost my computer and my shoes. I was like, oh, well, I guess I'm doing the whole thing.
Yeah. Didn't your dad die last semester?
Yeah, it's funny how he keeps doing that. I have two dads, actually, and you are being very homophobic about their deaths.
All right, question two comes from Kelly Clark from Malgamong Gupmalans on Wadjuknunga country. And the question is, name a species of spider. Name a species of spider. While you're writing your answers, here's some more info on social loafing. Maggie Wool, writing for Better Up, says, whether you're accomplishing something at work or at home, you likely know that work gets done faster when you collaborate with others. But you may have had negative experiences with team collaboration in the past. If you've ever felt like you were putting in more than your fair share of work to pick up the slack.
Have I ever?
Well, then you've already encountered social loafing. Bella writes, this level of effort is lower compared to when the same person is working alone or judged individually. When working alone, many people tend to put in more effort. But when there's teamwork involved, some people will slack off.
Well, that explains why improv's so hard to watch.
Yeah, that makes sense. Man, when
I see how none of us tagged onto that bit, though. None of us yended. Yes, and
no one.
We're like, yeah, true that. This guy's fucking blow.
Yeah, not a bit. Just a genuine criticism of the art form of improv. Get it together, man.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you know what? And we're not talking about live sketch. That's a different thing. I respect that because
you've thought of something.
Yeah. And you know what? You have a place you're going with it.
Yep. It's not always great.
Man.
But you have had a goal. You had a Google Doc.
You had a Google Doc.
And that's all it takes.
You at least had a dot point.
Yeah.
A little combo.
100%.
You didn't just
rock. You did like the thing where, you know, when you're playing as kids and it's like, okay, you're going to do this now and then you do this and I'm the mum and then you're the dog and then we're going on a walk and okay, and now go. Yeah.
Instead, like, you know, it's just I'm sitting in a room as an adult paying my hard-earned money to watch a bunch of fucking other adults playing Space Jump.
Yes.
On my Friday night. What am I doing?
I didn't even like watching Space Jump when I was in a drama class where we were playing Space Jump.
Oh my God. Exactly. How many exciting scenes can I see when someone's on the ground and the other one comes, grabs their lace and goes, oh, the wheelbarrow. It's like, cool.
I guess we're waltzing now.
Yep.
The answers to question two are in. Name a species of spider. Blue bottle of the bush. Golden bauble spider, halo weaver, detachable penis spider, jaunty George, or the frog eye tree spider? Blue bottle of the bush, golden bauble spider, halo weaver, detachable penis spider, jaunty George, or the frog eye tree spider? I think we're up to you, sir, at first dibs.
Okay. You might have to read them one more time.
Blue bottle of the bush, golden bauble spider, halo weaver, detachable penis spider, jaunty George, or the frog eye tree spider?
Okay. I think that the most interesting option is the detachable penis spider. Because I feel like the rest of them almost sound too much like spiders. Except for jaunty George. To me, it's either blue bottle of the bush.
But a blue bottle. Wait, a blue bottle is a jelly.
Here's the thing. Jellyfish. I feel like I've heard of the detachable
penis spider. That's why it's
something.
It feels
back of the head. I think every dude's read that once, and like that there is a spider like that, and it just stays there.
Do you think it means that the penis has a detachable? The spider has a detachable penis.
You know what I think it is. You know what I think it is. And I'm. This will. I think it is a real spider. This might just be an origin story I made up, but I feel like, isn't there a whole thing? I feel like it has something to do because the female spiders usually kill the dudes after mating. So I think the detachable penis.
That's just the golden widow spiders. I don't think it's all of them.
Is it not all of them?
No.
Okay. Well,
praying mantis is all of them.
But maybe, I'm kind of thinking.
Black widow that, spider. Yeah, I'm kind of thinking golden that maybe widow. This, the detachable penis spider has evolved to go and go, oh shit, I know they do that. What I'm going to do. I'm still going to smash.
Yeah.
But last, before, like, you know, right after busting.
Oh, like kind an of eject just button.
I can take the penis out and then maybe it grows
like
back.
Like a parachute.
Or you've got to remember where you've left it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You got
to. So you run a scurry off.
You kind of got to throw your dick somewhere
detachable.
Else.
Detachable. It doesn't make it clear in the name if it's retachable.
Yeah, it could
that
be.
That makes it a lesbian spider.
Mm.
You've got to remember where you left your detachable penis.
Yeah, I'm going to lock in detachable penis spider because I think Dave has convinced me with his origin story.
Yeah.
It would be so sick if this is Dave's fake one. Grace, what did you go for?
I'm thrown by this because yesterday... another comedian was explaining to me all of the villains in the Batman series, and it turns out I have no information on that at all. It was all new to me.
Right.
And then I was like, I thought he got bitten by a bat, and then he laughed at me as though that was a crazy thought.
Yeah.
Because I was like, well, he's Batman.
Yeah.
And Spider-Man was bitten by a spider.
It would make sense.
Yeah. Look, apparently, no, he's just like got real bad PTSD.
Yeah, yeah.
I think which I relate. Too.
I was there for this conversation. It was infuriating.
From which side of it?
Well, as soon as she said, so wait, he didn't get bitten by a bat, I didn't think I had that energy of like girls getting comic book characters wrong, and I go, no.
Also, as it was happening, this
Martha,
I was enjoying the conversation, and I was like genuinely absorbing new information that I didn't know. But this woman comes past and sees a man explaining Batman villains to me and locks eyes with me, like, do you need to be rescued?
Oh, that's awesome. What a legend.
And I was like, no, I'm good. Anyway, I'm very confused by spiders and bats and whatnot. But I reckon Jaunty George, just because entomologists seem like they'd be having, oh, arachnologists rather, I suppose. I think they seem like they're having fun with it.
Yeah, I've been.
And at a certain point, you run out of Latin.
Yeah, I think.
It's, you know, the foundation of Western society, but it's finite.
This one does have a Latin name. This is the common, more common name, sort of thing.
Oh, okay.
You know what I mean, but that would be true for all of them.
I'm gonna go detachable penis. Okay.
Hell yeah!
Okay.
Locked in.
Locking that in.
Well, that makes me comfortable. It's not David's answer.
It would have been like that. Would have been the best play of all time.
Yeah.
I thought it was yours, and I was like, he is keeping it cool, man. Yeah.
No. That was me spilling my heart out. Going, this is how much I believe that detachable penis spider is real. And if it honestly, I have trust issues. So if this is not, if it's the house, I'm actually going to fucking. I'm walking off. I swear to God.
All right, here's who wrote the answers for question number two.
You know, we're great at improv.
Blue Bottle of the Bush, that was Kelly, aka The House. Golden Bauble Spider, that was Seren. Halo Weaver was Grace. The Frog Eye Tree Spider was Dave. Jaunty George, Grace went for that was The House. And that means that Dave was entirely correct with the whole backstory and everything. Detachable penis spider.
The backstory
as
well?
Yeah, that was all right. That was,
oh my
that's
God.
That's insane.
You know what? I was sorry to out-host you there, brother. the whole story though?
Yeah, pretty much.
Oh, what? Wow. So they can reattach it?
Apart from the reattach. No, you can't reattach. Okay. Can't
so you die.
You get two.
Oh, that's they pretty get good. It's so, more than bees.
Yeah, that's right. So, and it's
hey, that's more than me in high school.
Now,
fairly straight man.
Yeah,
I'll tell the listeners in greater detail. While
I
you're
was kind of making a joke about like, does he get because he gets two times to spark?
Oh
no, I think he has. I think he has two. Yeah, so he can do it twice.
Yeah,
and that just increases chances.
Oh, I thought you meant you got more. That's more dicks than you got in high school.
No,
and
no,
I was
yeah.
Like, yeah, I'm not shocked by that.
Oh yeah, yeah. No. So I was trying to. You know what? I was on the wave of like a root joke.
Yeah.
Not a dick joke.
You fucked it.
Classic misc.
Yeah. All right.
You know what? In improv, they would have fucking brushed past this.
That's why we're not. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, but.
Also, I thought just.
We're
going to
fucking
thought,
burn you on a stake yeah. for a slight error. That was actually mine.
One quick thought of improv versus comics riffing. Comics riffing is just angry improv.
Yes.
Yeah. Anyway, that's it.
Can I ask a question about this detachable? So it gets two. The third, is that two? And then the, like two penises?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
And so after the second detach, that's
they become eunuchs and apparently sometimes they'll remove their own and make themselves eunuchs.
Straight away.
But it actually, I think...
We have those people in human society as well.
But I think that it has the opposite. I think for some reason in spiders when they take them off, it seems like they get more aggressive. And I think in humans it goes the other way.
Oh.
But I'm not a scientist. I read... Breeze through one article about
honestly,
it.
Honestly, if you cut off my genitals, I think the two options would be angry or accept my fate. And so I guess the spiders have taken that as, there's two options. Mm. And they've, you know, those seems like the ones to have.
And I guess like human eunuchs chop the balls as well, which I think is where a lot of hormones and stuff.
Human eunuchs definitely don't chop the penis, right?
Yeah, it's just the nads.
Just the nads.
I think. Which is where
those people who are like, on I mean, this is indicative.
This is going to be making scientists out there furious. Four unqualified. Actually,
this
are you?
This is indicative of how much I talk to Tom and Demi. In that I know that there are Reddit forums for people whose like fetish is chopping their own dicks off, and then they do it, and then they're quite upset because they can't do it again.
Yeah,
which is kind of the large problem with that kind of fetish. It's kind of a one and done.
Yeah. Whereas if they were these spiders,
they'd have to
get another crack at it.
Do they sometimes they'll do it straight away rather than after root?
It sounds like what happens automatically while rooting, and apparently
it gets left behind.
It keeps putting out jizz
while it's still in
while it's detached, so they can get away.
Oh.
Because they will be eaten otherwise.
It's a proper
which
decoy.
Is what Dave was saying. Mm. It's like a decoy, and the females are like five times bigger.
Oh, okay. And do sometimes they cut it off even before mating so they can stay in the choir?
Is you that do why? Continue to ask me like I understand, but yeah, I assume so. Yeah, they're choir spiders.
Yeah. You know, actually, I know why they rip them off. Beforehand.
Oh, yeah.
It's to kind of prove to the world that he's different.
Yeah.
It's like, come on, baby.
Yeah.
Oh, you think I'm just like all these other detachable penis spiders? No. Look, I'll fucking rip him off right now. And he does it. He's like, what am I going to fuck with?
Yeah.
You know, this making sense.
Yeah.
So that means in round two, Saran and Dave and the house will get 1 point. So after two rounds, the scores are Dave and Saran on 1 point, Grace and the house on 2 points.
Hell yeah.
Here's question number three. This one comes from Jacoby D'Angel, I think. I've said his name before. It's D apostrophe Angel.
D'Angel.
D'Angel. The next one was written by Jacoby D'Angel from Sacramento, California. Go Kings. In season two of A Pup Named Scooby-Doo, one of the many Scooby-Doo spin-off shows, what monstrous character does Casimir Codwaller disguise himself as to cover up his crimes? You're all familiar with Scooby-Doo. Every episode, it's just like some old man, but he's dressed up as a monster. And it seems like a monster for the whole episode. In the end, he says, oh, I would have got away with it too.
Yes.
Yeah. So this guy, Casimir Codwaller, dressed up as some weird monster, got to name the monster and give us a little description of it. Does that make sense? And while you're writing your answers, I'll let the audience know a bit more about detachable penis spiders. According to Gizmodo International, the male of the species has a dangerous natural imperative. He has to mate with the female, who comparatively is a behemoth, and she wants to eat him. What's a guy? I love how this is written. It's just very, very, they're taking it. They're making science very digestible. What's a guy to do? Use his detachable penis to keep her satisfied while he scurries off, of course. The male Nephilangus malabanensis is equipped with two sets of genitals known as palps. These are designed to break off and continue pumping sperm when the male is either eaten or otherwise bales. Daquan Lee, a researcher at the University of Singapore, believes it aids in the spider's chances of procreation. About 30% of sperm were transferred to the females before the palp breaks off, and about 70% of sperm was still left in the broken palp, Lee told Live Science. In our experiments, it took about 20 minutes to transfer about 85% of the sperm. That's an impossibly long time to be riding something five times your size with a hankering for your flesh. It's like riding a zombie bull for half an hour. And I appreciate that she put it in a terms I would understand. All right.
That's all I do. That's my weekend plans, riding a zombie bull for an hour. My whole thing.
I should say.
You know this, Woodhead. We've been friends a long time. You know what I love to do on the weekend.
Man, I know. It's Friday. You get real relaxed with that professional hugger and then straight to the zombie bull riding session.
I just want to quickly say that I have a lot of respect for improvisers.
All right, well.
Well, that makes one of us.
Kind of feels like you're throwing us under the bush now.
Yeah. Nah, shout out Ben Russell.
The bush.
I know. We got improviser listeners, and I think they're all fantastic people and very talented. Oh, it looks like the answers are in for question number three, which is in season two of A Pup Named Scooby-Doo, what monstrous character does Casimir Codwaller disguise himself as to cover up his crimes? Here are your options. The Heckler. A play on Batman's The Joker, only this guy would maniacally heckle whatever you said to him.
This is great timing for me. I've just learned about Batman villains.
No, I thought it was yesterday. You. I thought you were like, all right, I think that's a shared universe, maybe.
Dreadoid, a robotic anthropomorphic tree that leaves a trail of sap. Adolf Hitler's ghost, a psychotic narcissistic asshole, basically Hitler, only now in ghost form. Chickenstein, a 7 foot tall humanoid chicken creature with red eyes, sharp teeth, flat head and stitches on his body. He would cluck like a chicken, but in a low-pitched, angry-sounding voice. Wally Walnuts, an evil nutcracker who carries a big mallet. Or the ghost of Fat Man Scoop, a ghost of a largish man with a Dairy Queen loyalty card.
I'm not super familiar with the Scooby-Doo TV shows. I can't imagine they get super in-depth on, like, corporations, right?
I don't know if I haven't seen it in a long time.
You said season two of a pop. What year
so
was?
Yeah, it seems like a spin-off, right? It could be a more contemporary.
Yeah, I think it might be a more contemporary one. Because I think they've been making it forever, and there's always new series of it and stuff. Would either any of you mind if I say when?
No.
Because,
unless it's before 1942.
Yeah, pre-Hitler.
And then my Hitler answer would be...
it was in early 90s. Through the 90s.
See, that's what I'm kind of leaning towards. I feel like it is like one of the ghosts. Because they love the ghosts.
They love ghosts,
which also didn't really make any sense. Because like...
How do you disguise yourself? Yeah.
Disguise yourself. Because
they were so believably see-through. And but they'd say, oh, you caught me with my special light thing.
Yeah. Exactly.
You're kind of skipping over that, the writers of Scooby-Doo.
I mean, honestly, a lot of things... I mean, what, this dog can talk? But barely? Like, why can the dog talk but barely?
Bit of fun.
So, I guess...
The moral is just generally, men are scary and they're good at disguises, so... Don't trust Father Christmas.
Yeah, but it's like, but also I don't like how Fred just pretends to be such a good guy. That's even more creepier. You don't think Fred in the...
Oh, okay, Fred, he's either, which one's the Bond one?
He's got a cravat.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. He's Freddie Prinze Jr.
Yes.
Or as I said to Saran when we were watching a movie the other night.
Freddie Prinze Prussia.
It was a weird moment.
Pretty close. I think it's the chicken, Frankenstein.
Chickenstein. But I liked that too, but it's 7 foot. I guess if he can disguise himself as a ghost, he can...
Seems more realistic to me to be able to paper mache kind of like a parade float.
True.
Almost like a on big stilts. Bird situation.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, maybe his eyes are coming out the chest. Mm. But the one thing there, sharp teeth, chicken don't have teeth.
It's humanoid chicken.
Humanoid, you're right. Good point. What about you, Dave?
I'm kind of caught between the ghosts. Caught between two ghosts.
So you got Hitler and Fat Man Scoop.
Yeah, it'd feel wild. Like, I guess in the 90s, like, I guess you could see that they're like kind of trying to throw an edgy joke in there.
Did Fat Man Scoop die? Like, how?
I think he's still alive.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm kind of thinking, but it's like, what's more believable of like, would...
I'm guessing it'd be like a guest appearance of Fat Man Scoop voicing him or something. Yeah, probably. Yeah, bit of cross promo.
Yeah.
Like when Coolio was on The Nanny.
Yeah.
Hitler seems too far to have Hitler.
Yeah, and also like, I feel like Scooby-Doo wouldn't do that. Yeah. Like, I think that was, Disney also, because Disney fucked around.
Yeah.
Disney had that whole Donald Duck Nazi cartoon. Where like
pro or against.
Well, you know what? I have to, because I thought it was always pro growing up. I thought it was like, because he Disney hated Jewish people. And so he made
Disney
this.
Disney did?
Yeah, Disney did. Disney is pretty anti-Semitic.
It's wild.
Yeah.
How do you get past that as a children's cartoon company?
Man, you know,
of their early ones have blackface in them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess it was pretty in vogue at the time. It maybe
I think everyone was pretty chill with it.
Yeah. You almost find now, if you look at any picture of Disney, he's always kind of, his fingers are always apart. But that's because he always had a cigarette when they would take, so they've had to remove it. It's all photoshopped out. But later, I thought
he was just always playing scissors, paper, rock.
Yeah. It was the only rock.
Very predictable Walt.
Yeah, going scissors again.
That was just him before they opened Disneyland before the rides were ready. So he'd just go around and go, hi, kids. Scissors, paper, rock. I don't know. What do you want me to... the Haunted Mansion stage is actually... We're a bit over budget.
The ghost of Fat Man Scoop will be there soon.
That's Walt Disney's version of running out of material and doing crowd work. Yeah. Being like, the rides aren't open, but let's do some... hey, kids.
He's like, oh, yeah.
What else? Cradle.
He does the thumb trick. Yes. Oh, look at my thumb.
What else has been going on? Something behind your ear.
But pretty much, I think actually the Donald Duck cartoon was... He was like a Nazi in it, but I think the whole cartoon is him having a dream going, oh, I hated being a Nazi. Let's support our troops.
Right.
I don't know. But...
It'd be what? Because... Yeah.
Yeah. It's still... It's also kind of... I think it's kind of like a bit of a... Maybe as a company, they were like, well, don't... We obviously support our troops, but then that was kind of Walt going, yeah, but also let's...
Yeah, it is.
Let's kind of... Right. Let's kind of...
How
I don't
can
know.
We have both sides? How,
exactly.
It's interesting, though, if you are Disney and you... do at some point decide like, oh, I should use my platform for more. I should have a say in these political issues, but the only medium you can speak through is your cartoon characters.
Yeah.
You're a Disney man. Someone will take an interview. Call up the Times. They would love to chat.
I think all in all, I don't think Scooby-Doo would do that.
Mm-mm.
I think they play it. You know, right? They recognize that they're a cartoon. We should be having a bit of fun. So I reckon it's a Fat Man Scoop cross promo.
All right.
Cross Fat Man Scoop.
Lock that in for Dave. So that just leaves you, Saran.
I think it's the Chicken Stein.
Chicken Stein.
Could you read me the full description of Chicken Stein?
7 foot tall humanoid chicken creature with red eyes, sharp teeth, flat head, and stitches on his body. He would cluck like a chicken, but in a low pitched, angry sounding voice.
Yeah, I think because I feel like they also had robotic things, they had ghosts a lot. And they had robotic things.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I'm going to go Chickenoid, as well. Chicken Stein.
Paper mache.
All right. Locking those in. Here's who wrote the ants.
Wait, that was a robot? The Chicken Stein? No.
No. Humanoid. Chicken creature.
So my logic doesn't, but I'll still lock it in. Whatever.
There was a robot. The robot one was the robotic tree. Anthropomorphic tree.
Nah. I'll stay with Chicken Stein.
All right. Here's who wrote the answers. The heckler. That was the house. Dryadoid, the anthropomorphic tree. That was Grace. Am I saying that anywhere near right?
Dryadoid.
Sorry. It doesn't work if I go, and how do you pronounce it?
Yeah.
It sort of gives the game away.
A dryad is a tree spirit. Doesn't matter.
Sorry. Feel free to help me out with some...
from a mythology heads out there.
Phonetic spellings in words that have three vowels in a row.
I actually also think probably the American spelling is much easier to pronounce, like with a Y instead of the way I've done it.
Sorry.
You're just trying to flex.
I guess.
Adolf Hitler's ghost, that was Jacoby, a.k.a. the house.
Yep.
Wally Walnuts, that was Dave.
I liked it.
I like Wally Walnut. Yeah. I imagine like a big... Like, I was kind of going... maybe it was like a Chris... I could trick him with a Christmas episode thing.
I can imagine Scooby getting squashed flat and then re-becoming 3D again.
Yeah, maybe having to eat a Scooby snack for him to pop up.
Yeah.
Be a little spring or something. That'd be fun.
The Ghost of Fat Man Scoop, which Dave went for. That was Saran.
Yes.
Meaning nice. Chicken Stein was correct.
Hell yes.
So 2 points for Saran, 1 point for Grace.
That's what I'm saying. Scooby-Doo villains, they're like, they make parade floats.
Yeah,
this is the area you got to be looking at.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. Question number 4. This one comes from Nick Dennis from Edders in Pennsylvania. What well-known product did Robert Chesbra invent, and in what unusual way did he use it? So what well-known product did Robert Chesbra invent, and in what unusual way did he use it? Does that make sense?
I think so.
And like as an example, it'd be like the refrigerator, but he didn't use it to keep things cold. He slept in it. That's not a good example. That's why I'm hosting. According to Jacoby, Chicken Stein appeared in season 2, episode 4 of A Pup Named Scooby-Doo in an episode titled Chicken Stein Lives. He was a Frankenstein's monster with a foul twist. The monster clucks and makes egg-based puns, and the identity of Chicken Stein was revealed to be Kazma Codwaller, who was selling stolen merchandise out of his basement. Chickenstein appears in Scooby-Doo 2, Monsters Unleashed. I guess that's one of the real life movies. Is on display in the Cookeville Criminology Museum.
Is that the one where Velma wears the sexy orange leather outfit?
Oh, you best believe it is.
Yeah.
I don't think I've seen the movie.
I think it's at maybe like hour 6 minutes and 22 seconds into the film. Yeah.
But apparently, originally, Chickenstein was going to be brought to life with the other monsters, but he was cut from the film at the last minute. But images of a living Chickenstein are still online. And in Jacoby's opinion, he looks pretty sick and they should have left him in.
Yeah, he'd be better than the fairy floss monster.
Oh, should I? Yeah. The second one is,
I've seen the first one a lot.
Mystery Island is the best.
Yeah, it's sick. And so you know what's awesome? The Outcast song in it.
So good.
It's like great.
The Outcast song in Scooby-Doo Mystery Island is a banger.
This isn't really a joke. It's more of just a genuine pitch.
You play it on the radio.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Lunchtime Legend. Anyone can call in. 043-975-7555.
Right. I'll get it done.
Call in, text it. But it was originally written to be like an R-rated comedy.
Yes.
Yeah, and then they were like,
we got to make this for kids instead.
Yeah.
So the vibes are real weird.
It's really weird.
It's so good.
But you know what?
Isla Fish is there.
They should do that.
She's crazy.
They should do that for Skippy.
R-rated Skippy.
R-rated Skippy. He can talk now. He's got a rude attitude.
Blinky Bill. But yeah. like our version of Ted.
Yeah. Oh, that would be awesome.
Hey, while you're still writing your answer, let's go for a quick break.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, your answers are in. So here's question number 4. What well-known product did Robert Chesebra invent and in what unusual way did he use it? He invented Vaseline and he ate a spoonful of it a day as a health supplement.
Oh, no.
The coffee plunger.
It's like the carnivore people all over again, putting butter in their coffee and whatnot.
Coffee plunger, but he used it to separate cheese curds. A Viagra. And he believed that it promoted proper blood flow from the heart. The toilet brush, but it was originally designed to scrub your private areas. The toaster, he used it to dry his mittens. Or the first bulletproof vest, but it covered the full body and he died by suffocation when testing it out. So you got Vaseline, coffee plunger, Viagra, toilet brush, toaster, bulletproof vest.
Yeah, I guess... We always talk about how Ned Kelly got shot in the one part of him there was no armor.
Yeah.
If there was armor there, maybe he would have suffocated to death. Yeah. He was going out regardless. Yeah,
I was just going to say the Viagra one sounds very possible. Because a lot of medical things are like a mistake, or it's like, oh, you find the use for it by trying to do something else.
Yeah. But all these guys have been treated for heart, and they're like, getting some weird side effects here.
I thought there was like a study on Viagra that it was to improve period pain in women. And then as soon as they discovered it was for erections, that there was no money for that anymore. Oh.
That sounds very plausible.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I was about to also say the Viagra thing, and because I remember that with their Viagra was the case. But then, what Grace said there as well. Wait, what did you say? Or was it that what?
They were doing studies on it was improving period pain, but then they kind of scrapped the studies when they learned that they could sell it to men who couldn't get hard.
You know what? I'm gonna say that those are kind of like the two. I reckon that story is right, and I reckon it's also this. Yeah. I reckon they were trying to make this wonder pill for like helping blood flow through better.
Yeah.
And maybe it was like,
they do prescribe it off label for heart stuff too as well. So I don't know. But also, this is not my area.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, erectile dysfunction probably would have something to do with...
Heart, blood flow.
Yeah. In my experience, anyway.
So, yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to look in the Viagra.
Viagra, Saran?
I reckon toilet brush.
Toilet
just
brush?
Just because everyone's going to go with Viagra.
And what about you, Dave?
I'm going to go Viagra.
Viagra? All right. These are the answers. The bulletproof vest covering his full body. That was Nick in the house. The toaster drying his mittens. That was Saran. Coffee plunger separating cheese curds was Grace. Invented the toilet brush to scrub your private areas. That was Grace went for that, but it was Dave.
Oh.
Point to Dave there. Yeah. Saran and Dave went,
shouldn't have been different.
Went for Viagra, but that was the house.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Nick in particular wrote that one, meaning the correct answer was the Vaseline. He would have a spoonful of it.
I don't know why
day.
I doubted myself. As soon as I heard it, I was like, yeah, there are still guys like that. Yeah, yeah. And I was like, oh, it can't be that, even though I know people who do basically that thing right now.
And what he lived into his 90s and he believed it the whole way through that it was this miracle substance he'd invented.
Lubing up his insides.
He went around trying to selling it sort of, you know, as a miracle cure for cuts and burns. He'd burn himself.
Oh my God.
In front of a crowd and then put it on top saying it was a miracle cure, which it was, and it just creates a layer.
Yeah.
It's like similar to a Band-Aid, but it basically stops infections getting in. So it did save people's lives from not getting infections, but it wasn't
for eating.
Do you think he's swallowing
it's
the Vaseline.
Called,
yeah.
It's called petroleum jelly.
Yeah, that's right.
It's made of oil.
Yeah.
Before meals, he'd swallow the Vaseline and then... Then you don't have to chew, I guess. You just swallow
down. Eats it like a snake would. Yeah, wild. So 2 points for the house, 1 point for Dave that round. All right. What are we up to here? Question 5 from Wheat Whittington from Surrey in the UK. What is the nickname of NBA basketball player Jonathan Malangu Kaminga? While you're writing your answers, here's some quick info on the Vaseline guy from Wiki. Chesbro lived to be 96 years old and was such a believer in Vaseline that he claimed to have eaten a spoonful of it every day. He died at his house in New Jersey. He also reportedly, during a serious bout of pleurisy in his mid-50s, had his nurse rub him from head to toe with Vaseline. He soon recovered and credited his recovery to Vaseline.
Now, that's a fetish.
That's
him being like, if I'm going to die of pleurisy, at least have a woman rub me with oil.
Yeah, amazing. Amazing just to be like, what is pleurisy?
It's like a lung thing. I think you get scarring on your lungs.
Right.
It's like pneumonia adjacent, I'm pretty sure.
He must have been having some other treatment then to recover from it.
You would hope.
And he's like, well, that might have helped a bit, but it was the Vaseline that did the trick.
But so if you invented Vaseline, you'd be feeling pretty good.
Yeah, it's not. Yeah, yeah.
He's probably just a bit of a narcissist. Invented it, and he's like, "Yeah, this is why I'm awesome." It's it's impressive, but not too impressive.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, here are your options for question number 5. What is the nickname of NBA basketball player Jonathan Malangu Kaminga? Kaminga. Glenn Coco, the Cum Bucket, John the Don, the Boomtown Shakalaka, the Giant, or Biter? Glenn Coco, the Cum Bucket, John the Don, the Boomtown Shakalaka, the Giant, or Biter? Maybe she'll go first to you, Grace.
I reckon Boomtown Shakalaka. That seems like the sort of basketball nickname people would end up with. Sort of adjacent to a chant.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
something you could put a foam finger in the air about.
Yeah, yeah. That's a powerful nickname,
yeah.
I would say.
Mm. Yeah, because Boom Shakalaka, that was like, I think a commentator said. Like, I think it was
like an NBA Jam commentator,
yeah,
or something.
Yeah, yeah. And it would be like when you hit a dunk, but it might be because of this guy.
Mm.
He might be like kind of the guy that inspired
the
Boom Shakalaka.
Of the Boom Shakalaka.
Yeah.
But he got bitten by a basketball.
It was my destiny. The ball was officially in my court.
What do you think, Dave?
Oh, I'm gonna cum bucket. No, they wouldn't allow that. kids watch the games.
Yes.
Wouldn't allow it though. It's a nickname. This isn't like necessarily on his singlet or anything.
Yeah. I guess who's calling is like other people on the court.
Yeah, is that his teammates giving him that nickname?
I think it's the fans, this one.
Oh, the fans.
Okay. The cum bucket.
If the fans have given you that nickname, they don't like you that much, I don't think. That's a cruel thing to do to a person.
I guess it kind of makes sense if he's like knocking down buckets, you know? Mm. And it's like, here's the cum bucket.
Did you say the biter?
Yeah.
Maybe because he bit someone. You know what? I'm going to lock in biter.
Yep. Lock that in for Dave. That just leaves you, Saran.
What was the third one again?
John the Don.
I think it's John the Don.
John the Don, okay. Here's who wrote the answers. Jonathan Malungu Kaminga. His nickname was Glenn Coker. That was Dave. Why does that ring a bell? What is
Glenn? It's and you know what? I probably shouldn't put it in the answer. It's from Mean Girls. Oh. And then so I don't know why, but I was just like, you know what? It was the first thing I thought of. Like, maybe it's like he loved Mean Girls.
Yeah.
And then they just started calling him Glenn Coco because, yeah.
I think that's great fun.
It's beautiful, the backstory.
Yeah, imagine that. He's like, he just kept playing. He's like, you know what? Let's call the guy Glenn Coco.
These guys will definitely pick that he's a fan of Mean Girls.
Well, you know, because during the Watch the Throne tour, Kanye would watch Mean Girls every night after the show.
Really?
Yeah, he was obsessed with that movie during that tour.
So that's the real throne.
Exactly. That's what he was probably going like, damn, this shit's so real. This is life. Yeah. There can only be one.
I can't wait to find out if Saran has an equally interesting backstory for the giant.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, I got abused for taking too long. And I picked the most generic sounding basketball. Someone's got to be called the giant. In the league.
I reckon there's probably a giant and then there's probably also a gentle giant as
well. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
John the Don, which Saran went for, that was by Wheat, the question writer, aka The House.
Oh, The House.
The House also wrote Boomtown Shakalaka.
Curses.
Dave went for Biter, which was Grace, meaning the correct answer is the cum bucket.
That is, he doesn't, oh no.
I'm sure everyone listening to me locked my answer and I just had them edging the whole time because I was so going to go with cum bucket.
Yeah, that and it's a recent one. He's like he's still in his early 20s, and the fans named him that.
Brutal. He's like the cat from Kiss. Yeah. All his other teammates have got sick nicknames, and he's like, "What? Is this sticking?"
Yeah, he's got a small window, I reckon, to because he's in his early 20s. He's probably not like superstar.
What he needs to do is bite someone.
Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah. The biter. The biting cum bucket. Oh, no.
All right, we're up to the second last question. This comes from Colin Campbell from the Copper State, which apparently is Arizona.
Sure.
And Colin's question is, as reported by 5th century BC Greek historian Herodotus, what was an interesting fact about desert sheep? So this is going way back to the 5th century. An interesting fact that Greek historian Herodotus noted down in his writings about desert sheep. While you're writing those answers, here's a quick bit of info about the cum bucket. According to the website Metro League, Jonathan Kuminga is a basketball player from the Democratic Republic of the Congo who is making waves in the NBA. Kuminga was drafted by the Golden State Warriors in the 2022 draft and has already shown his potential as a versatile and talented player. However, Kuminga's success on the court has been overshadowed by his controversial nickname, the cum bucket. This nickname, which was coined by Warriors fans, has generated some criticism and debate over whether it's appropriate or derogatory. It's unclear how Kuminga feels about the nickname, as he hasn't publicly commented on it. While the nickname the cum bucket may be intended as a harmless joke, it has the potential to be seen as disrespectful, and some have suggested replacing it with the Congolese crusher as a tribute to his Congolese heritage and his aggressive playing style.
Yeah, the thing with nicknames, though, is you can't... It's just going to go how it goes. Yeah. You know, you can't offer another option and be like, what about this? It's like, well, we've already started doing this.
It's also
we've Streisand. We've got a chant about it.
Yeah, it's a Streisand effect as
well. Yeah,
you can't be like, I don't like the...
No. Yes. And that's why he hasn't commented on it. He's like,
good
stop talking
him,
about
man.
It.
Good
on,
for him.
And honestly, look, I mean, and on the real, it's like early 20s, playing in the NBA, making... heaps of money.
He probably is a cum bucket.
Yeah. You know, he probably goes off after the games to girls going like, do you want to show why they call me that? You know, it's awesome. I'm sure this tall, rich.
The benefits probably outweigh the negatives on that.
Yeah. Look, I'd swap places with a dude who's a famous basketball player.
All right, the answers are in for question number 6. As reported by 5th century BC Greek historian Herodotus, what was an interesting fact about desert sheep? Bathing in their blood was thought to increase fertility. This was used not only for humans, but also for other domesticated animals. For example, smearing sheep's blood on the head of the cattle before mating season.
That'd be very confusing for the cattle.
Yeah, like, what?
Why?
I don't know why this is making me horny, but it is. They don't go bar, but instead they go ear. Ear. They were treated as family members, dining with the rest of the household for dinners and important lunches. They like lute music more than suburban sheep. Their tails would grow so long and fat that the shepherds would make little carts to carry them so they could move around. Little carts for their tails. Or they had poop shaped like clouds. So you got their blood was thought to increase fertility. They don't go bar, they go air. sorry, bear. The B part of that's probably important. They were treated as family members, eating inside with the families. They like lute music more than other sheep. Tails would grow big and long and fat, so they had to have little carts for the tails. Or they'd have poop shaped like clouds.
It would be funny if they were all true.
Yeah, kind of. Like, man, I think none of those are true and all of them are.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, man, these desert sheep.
They had a lot on.
They got a packed schedule. And they got to go hang out with the family as well.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, no, Sunday lunch.
Because I think most sheep go kind of like, eh. Like, that's, yeah. I think bar is just an easier way of writing that down.
Yeah.
But I think what they said, they all kind of sound like, eh. Yeah.
So they all sound awful.
Yeah. I like the tails. And I know a weird amount about docking sheep's tails because my parents are from New Zealand and my dad grew up in the country. So there's got to be a reason they started doing that.
Yeah.
So I reckon it's the sheep tails.
Sheep tails? Locking that in.
What was the... They like lute... What did you say?
Lute music.
I was thinking about this one too. I feel like Herodotus could be the kind of guy who just wandered out into the desert on his own with his lute. And he was just strumming away. And then he looked around and they'd all sort of formed a gathering around him.
An ancient Greek Snow White.
Yeah. And like, normally, the sheep hate it.
Yeah. But I was fucking crushing to this sheep, dude. They couldn't get enough of it. No, I think especially like 5th century philosophy, like they, I reckon like they would be going, oh, that would be something they'd be trying to figure out What type of music does the sheep like? Yeah.
There were so many answers, your questions yet to be answered.
Yeah, yeah.
Why are they knocking these ones
off? Exactly. Let's just get the easy ones first and then let's figure out why we're here. Yeah. You know what? And it hasn't gone real well anytime me and Soren share an answer, but bloody hell, I'm going to do it again. I'm going to lock in the loop.
You're both going loop?
What was... The tail one, yep. Not the tail one, not the lute one, not the
poop shaped like clouds.
No.
All right, let's treat it like family members.
I'll do the blood one.
Blood.
Oh, someone had to.
Almost feels cliche.
Yeah, it was so long. Points for detail.
Is there the answers? Cloud shaped poop. That was Dave. Mind works.
It's because I was kind of, and it's probably what's going to trip me up with this other one. I was thinking because of just, you know what? I underestimated how smart a 5th century philosopher is. I reckon he walked there and went, interesting. That poop looks like the sky. And that's what I wrote it down.
I mean, we haven't changed that much. Yeah. You tell an American person that wombats make cube-shaped poop, they lose their minds.
I know, yeah.
Oh, man, when I found that out, I lost my mind. Yeah. But I was disappointed to see it's not, I I mean, it's not as cubey as I thought
it would be. It's all long-esque, yeah. I suppose.
It's like, you just saw a really good one time. Yeah.
You saw perfect
even the one that was like, I don't know how I did that.
Yeah. It's like he was just super constipated that day.
They don't go bar, instead they go bear. That was Saran. Including
hence the pronunciation,
The pronunciation of E like in sketch. And I read it, I'm like a comedy sketch. I don't know. Do you want me to read that bit out?
That goes air. That has the E in it. That was the only word I could think of.
They were treated as family members, dining with the rest of the household. That was the house, as was bathing in their blood. Colin wrote that in particular for the house.
So there's a high word count, Colin.
Point of the house. Dave. Grace has had you all game long because once again, you have got. I think you must have guessed most of Grace's answers. They like lute music. That was Grace. And
of course, it's the whimsical bullshit.
That means.
Unfortunately, the whimsical shit. I'm like, I just think life is a little magic, especially back in the
15th century. Me too, man. Get involved. Yeah.
So, what is it then?
That means Grace was correct. Tails would grow so long and fat that they had to have little cuts. Carry him behind him.
Like
how inefficient
carts.
Was that? One by one, yeah. Getting the sheep around?
And the carts are the more whimsical option, but I see why they now just cut them off.
Yeah. Amazing. Yeah.
Well, you know what? And I'm going to say this. It's not really an observation he made about the sheep. More about an observation. Because the sheep didn't control
it. The sheep's like, we're fine with how our tails are, actually.
Yeah, if you just said, what did some bloke 100 years ago see on his walk around the farm? Well, the farmers created something. I don't know.
Cute.
You have gone for Grace's answers quite a lot. So
I'm a great writer. I can paint a picture. Yeah.
With one round to go, it's still truly anyone's game. Dave's on 2 points. Soren's on 3 points. Grace is on 6 points. But out in front on 7 points, it's the house. So
This anti-gambling lesson is being learned hard.
Yeah.
You three do get triple points in this final round while the house does not. So it's 9 points up for grabs if you sweep this last round. Right. So still anyone can win. And the final question comes from Orla McGrath from Dublin. And the question is, what is the plot of the 1996 movie My Uncle the Alien? What is the plot of the 1996 movie My Uncle the Alien? So this is going to be your longer answer, you know, 2, 3, 4 sentences maybe, short paragraph like that. While you're writing those answers, here's some more info about those fat-tailed desert sheep. According to Wiki, the majority of fat-tailed sheep breeds have broad fat tails where the fat is accumulated in baggy deposits in the hind parts of a sheep on both sides of its tail and on the first 3 to 5 vertebrae of the tail. Early historians, including Herodotus, report that their tails sometimes were so long that shepherds built miniature carts for them and that tails sometimes grew so large that it dragged on the ground and hindered copulation. Fat-tailed sheep are well adapted to life in arid landscapes, the fat providing a food reserve for combating harsh desert conditions. The earliest record of fat-tailed sheep is found in ancient Uruk, 3000 BC, and Ur, sorry about the pronunciations there, I should have looked those up, 2400 BC, on stone vessels and mosaics. In Sumer, fat-tailed sheep were kept in temples for wool. Another early reference is found in the Bible, Exodus 29:22 and Leviticus 3:9, where a sacrificial offering is described, which includes the tail fat of sheep. Mesopotamian records provide a wealth of information about fat-tailed sheep, and they produce the highest quality wool and were kept in large numbers. The city-state of Lagash around 2000 BCE had over 66,000 such sheep. And the tail fat is an essential part of many cuisines still. It emits a strong smell when cooked, though the flavour is described as rich and full. You ever eaten, with your history, your
also
dad's industry,
Buko?
Ever eaten a sheep's tail?
I have not. I've eaten mutton.
Yeah? That's the whole sheep growing up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Were you born here or were you born over there and you came over young? No,
I was born here.
You were born here.
I'm the first person in my family born in Australia for like 4 generations.
Right.
It's no good.
You wish you were. But you still got the New Zealand passport.
Yeah, I got both. But over here, everyone was like, where are you from? Your accent's weird. And I was like, I was born in Townsville. I don't know. And then in New Zealand, they're like, this is our Australian cousin. And I'm like, I'm one of you.
Never fitting in. Apart from with your books.
Yeah. Autism. It's a hell of a drug.
All right, here's the final question. What is the plot of the 1996 movie My Uncle the Alien? A child's perspective of his uncle visiting the family home for the first time, and because of his strange clothes and mannerisms, the child begins to suspect his uncle is actually an alien. It's a pretty overt metaphor for homosexuality, though. A documentary about one family's struggle to hide their uncle from ICE after his undocumented status is exposed. This heartbreaking story is told through the stories used in order to help the youngest understand why it's okay to lie in order to protect her uncle, the alien. When Jenny Jenkins' grandfather unexpectedly catches a cold, her father drags her out of school and back to his hometown ranch. There, Jenny meets for the first time her uncle, Borgus. They hit it off. 5 stars.
They hit it off.
That sounds fun. That one's the funnest of the first three.
It doesn't sound like a lot of dramatic tension, but, no,
but it is 5 stars.
This is like, I watched The Craft recently and I hadn't seen it before. I watched The Craft and Jennifer's Body in one day because I'm getting through the lesbian canon. And I was like, I know we have to have tension and conflict and whatnot, but can't the girls just have fun?
Yeah.
Like, let them do their little spells.
Yeah.
I don't like this. And also the villain of both of those movies is actually just the cruel nature of institutionalized mental health care. So something to think about.
Here's option 4. Kelly is the daughter of the American president who's shocked that a youth center in LA may have to close down. In a compassionate outburst, she declares that her uncle, a cross between Santa Claus and an alien, might be able to help. When she is ridiculed by the media, she runs away, but is then kidnapped with her new friend Zig and held to ransom. It is now up to Kelly's uncle to save them both. Then you got direct-to-video sequel to E.T. the Extraterrestrial, where E.T. is back, this time with his armed and ready uncle, to seek out the evil government scientist that nearly killed his nephew. It's up to a now grown Elliot and Gertie to help E.T. convince his uncle that revenge is not the answer and the only way to break the never-ending circle of violence is forgiveness. Can they do this in time to prevent the impending massacre in Area 51?
I think that if there was a sequel to E.T., I'm a pretty regular consumer of stand-up comedy and I reckon it would have been covered.
The final option, a 10-year-old boy, Bobby, dreams of leaving his small-town life and going to space. And after his parents die in a car accident, Bobby is sent to his uncle, Craggle, who lives on Mars. And he is an alien. Craggle struggles to emotionally connect with Bobby and must learn to love his human nephew. So you've got the overt metaphor for homosexuality. You've got the alien is in the immigration. The uncle who's immigrated to America illegally. You got the Jenny Jenkins, grandfather who catches a cold, gets dragged to a hometown ranch, hits it off with Uncle Borgus. You've got the daughter of the American... As I'm reading through these, I'm realizing that these all sound ridiculous. Kelly, the daughter of the American president, the youth center is going to close and says, oh, no, I'll be able to help with my uncle who's a cross between Santa Claus and an alien, but then ends up on the run with Zig. The sequel to E.T. or 10-year-old Bobby who ends up meeting his Uncle Craggle on Mars. Okay. Anyone feeling any...
Yeah, I think that because everyone... Yeah, it sounds like a lot of those answers went alien, like outer space alien. But yep. Americans do refer to immigrants as aliens.
Mm.
Mm. So maybe, yeah, I reckon the immigration one, I'm going to look
at the documentary.
The documentary.
Yeah, and you could kind of imagine like if it was for kids as well, trying to teach them, like, they could go, well, it's an alien.
Yeah.
I was going to say because it's the last one. I reckon the first one's Grace. Because you just let slip that you've been watching.
Oh, do you want to do this? Sometimes we do this where you can each guess if you want to, for extra points, you can guess what each other picked. Right.
I reckon Grace wrote the homosexual one.
Yep. What do you think Saran did then? Oh, actually, let's everyone lock in what they think the answer is first.
Well, I'll lock in the documentary.
Yeah.
Please.
I think Ice as well.
I'm going to lock in Doco as well.
So all three. All right. And then who do you think, which one do you reckon Seren wrote? So you got the one, well, the first two are the ones. So you got the Jenny Jenkins' grandfather unexpectedly catches a cold. Kelly's the daughter of the American president, has the Santa Claus alien uncle. Sequel to E.T. or 10-year-old Bobby meeting his uncle Craggle.
I reckon it might be sequel to E.T.
Sequel to E.T., okay.
I reckon Dave did Jenny Jenkins.
Okay.
Jenny Jenkins.
I reckon Dave did Craggle.
Dave did Craggle.
Uncle Craggle. And I agree with Dave that Grace wrote the first option.
Dave. Okay. My my system here is blown out by this new development.
There's smoke coming out of his laptop right now. Jesus. The tension is high.
Dave, you thought...
Grace.
I've got your two. And Grace, what did you think Seren did? Did you say Dave did Jenny Jenkins?
Dave
or Seren
did Jenny Jenkins.
Dave did Jenny Jenkins.
And Seren, I also think sequel to E.T.
You both think Seren did. All right. So here's who wrote the answers. So Seren thought Dave did the one about Uncle Craggle, and Seren was correct. then we have the director video sequel to E.T., which you both thought Seren did. That was actually The House. The question writer Aula wrote that one. Then we had you both thought Grace wrote the one about the overt metaphor for homosexuality, and you were both correct.
I do think it sounds like a plausible 80s movie, though.
Yes.
It does. have you heard of, Nightmare on Elm Street 2?
No.
Have you heard of it?
No.
Okay, so it's called Freddy's Revenge, and it is all about a young man struggling with his coming terms with homosexuality. And he becomes...
A lot of horror movies are.
But this one's like, it's like, dude, can I sleep in your bed? Dude. Okay. If you must. And they're always just dudes hanging out with shirts off the whole time. And Freddy literally comes out of it. It's wild. And the director was gay. And he just kept telling the main actor, he goes, you're going to be gay one day. And the main actor was like, come on, man. And he was like, he was so right.
This is sexual harassment. Like when people, right-wing conservatives use anything from The Matrix as part of their fucking thing. And the people who made The Matrix are trans women being like, guys, you are in, you can say that there's no incorrect way to interpret art all you want, but you are wrong.
Yeah. It's not a documentary.
No.
Now, you all thought it was a documentary, but that was actually Aula, okay, The House.
Aula, you're so good at this.
Grace, you thought Dave did the one about Jenny Jenkins, but that was actually Seren.
Oh.
You both thought Seren did the... Yeah, I've already said that. You thought he did the E.T. one, but that was Aula. Does that mean all I've got to tell you is the correct answer?
Yeah.
Which is Kelly is the daughter of the American president who's shocked that a youth center in Los Angeles may have to close down. In a compassionate outburst, she declares that her uncle is a cross between Santa Claus and an alien and he might be able to help.
The Santa Claus
it's
thing
so
really threw me.
Weird. Look at the
real hat on the hat.
You got it. How would you describe the movie poster?
Holy shit!
Homemade.
Yeah. Like it, that.
Also, the 90s were obsessed with making movies about the president's daughter. I don't know.
Yeah, the White House.
Why was that the only movie they were making?
And the alien, it doesn't have any features of really Santa or...
No.
It's a knockoff E.T. is what it is.
Yeah, it's very clearly like a cross between E.T. and the
alien
from Star Wars.
It's like they just bought a regular E.T. kind of model and just melted him a bit with a hairdryer.
Yeah.
They would have shown it to the studio and they're like, well, why is it E.T. but fat? And they're like, Santa.
I just said like the alien from Star Wars, but they all were.
Yeah.
You know, the little guy. I can't remember his name.
Ewoks?
No,
the melty guy, Jabba the Hutt.
No, the little one. The one that looks like E.T.
Yoda.
Yoda.
He looks like Yoda, I reckon.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
There's a bit of Yoda in that.
It looks
guy,
like
right?
Yoda without his ears.
Yeah, no ears.
Yeah.
And grey.
Like he a Yoda.
Yeah, okay.
We're sickly a Yoda pug combo. Yeah,
yeah. It's like Yoda if he smokes cigarettes.
Yoda if his mum smokes cigarettes.
So that means, I believe, that Dave and Saran got a point there for guessing, or got 3 points for guessing Grace's answer. The house got 3 because you all guessed the house. And also, Saran got 1 for guessing the correct Dave one. Jesus. This is, I've made this more complicated than I needed to. Oh, no. And it's, anyway, we'll figure out the score in a second. Before I do, all a set of this movie. Honestly, submitted this question because the film poster is a thing of beauty, specifically the one of the most aggressively 90s kids superimposed in front of the White House with an alien's head emerging above.
Yep.
Rotten Tomatoes didn't have a critic score. I don't think it was a very widely viewed film. audience gave it 33%. And I found a Letterboxd review from Seth Reviews, which is half a star, writing, "The thrill of producing film-related content during a strike. My uncle, the alien, not only has to be one of the worst / funniest posters of all time, but it's also one of the worst films I've ever watched. Words can't describe how bad it is."
Wow. Well, he should watch Argyle, because I watched that the other day and I was like, I think I just spent $20 on AI-generated art.
Oh, really?
It was real bad, man.
There you go.
Man. So, you know what? I watched 30 minutes of the Five Nights at Freddy movie on the plane.
Yeah?
It was good.
Okay, nice.
Josh Hutcherson's actually a good actor. Like, I think he was
good,
like...
Good for him, man.
I mean, the movie's stupid because it's like...
The game's stupid.
Yeah, but he's like his son... his little brother gets kidnapped when he was a kid and now he's grown up and... It's one of those obvious, you know, the
it's
tropes...
It's like Batman, he's afraid of kidnappers.
Pretty much. It's like one of those tropes where it's like, we've got an actor... But we can't make him a dad, so we're going to make him the older brother whose parents are dead. So it's like, not only has this guy's brother been kidnapped, now his parents are dead, and now he's in charge of his fucking sixth grader, the six-year-old. Now he's going to go work in this fucking broken down pizza shop, and now these fucking bears are coming to life and try to kill him.
What a nightmare, like, honestly, scenario.
I think the whole thing of the horror movie is like, that a lot of horror movies don't get well is, oh, I don't care if this guy dies. I'm sitting here going, man, this... And I like Josh Hutcherson.
He just can't catch a goddamn break. Yeah,
just separately, I've always liked Josh Hutcherson. I think he's a very calming presence in movies. Yeah. Like, he just gets the job done. 100%. Doesn't muck around. He doesn't put any... He just shows up, says lines, but he's kind of handsome.
Yeah.
You know, and he does that to a T in this new Five Nights at Freddy film. What a great movie. This is the best. I can't wait to finish
this it. This made me want to watch it more than the trailer did. Yeah. So.
Oh, man.
So the final scores. Geez, things tightened up. In fourth spot on 5 points is David Woodhead. Dave, sorry.
Hey, no, that's all right.
I know you're very...
Yeah, honestly.
When you lose, you get your full legal name.
I just texted my manager then saying, we need to pull this episode. This is damn brand damaging behavior.
On 6 points in third position, it's Grace Jarvis.
Ooh.
Leaping in the second spot by guessing both Grace and Dave's answers in the last round on 9 points at Saran, but just sneaking to victory 10 points, it's the Dastardly House.
Dastardly.
We can't get this guy.
That's the closest I've ever come.
I even gave you all the opportunity to get like 15 points in the last round with that extra, and it wasn't enough.
Yeah.
Thanks so much for joining us, everybody. Hey. So this will be coming out this Monday. We're all done in Adelaide by then, but whereabouts are you going to next, Grace?
You can follow me at Grace Jarvis Ono on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, I don't know, wherever you want. I have to do clips now. It's a nightmare. And then I'm doing the whole run at the Melbourne Comedy Festival with my show, Oh, the Horrors. And then I'm doing last year's show in Toowoomba at the Empire Theatre, which is my hometown theatre, the first week of May. And then second week of May, I'm doing the Brisbane Comedy Festival and the Sydney Comedy Festival and then Edinburgh in August.
Awesome.
So, get involved.
We definitely got a bunch of UK listeners who love supporting shows over there.
I know. I think a bunch of them came last year.
Oh, that's awesome.
Thank you for that.
Congratulations.
Yeah, and great. I think I remember we talked about it. Like, if they're nice, they're welcome to come up and say, hey, I heard you on the podcast.
Yes.
But if you're a weirdo,
do not do that.
Actually, you know that the wrong people will believe they're in those categories.
The weirdos never think they're the weirdos.
Yeah, yeah, that's right.
That is the
problem.
And
the ones who aren't
the
weirdos,
nice ones are like, oh, I don't want to be weird.
Yeah, because they go, well, I love Grace Jarvis, so I will go up to her immediately after the show.
And I, of course, I'm happy with the weirdos and the non-weirdos to come up with me. I can't tell the difference. Saran, what about you?
Well, yeah, so we're done in Adelaide. We'll next be at the Melbourne International Comedy Festival. We're doing the whole month there. And then we're also going to Brisbane and Sydney in early May.
Yes.
And find me at Saran Comedy on Instagram.
And it's not locked in, but you're hoping to be in Edinburgh as well?
Yeah, hopefully. Hopefully I'll be there in August as well. So UK listeners, I look forward to meeting you weird and friendly alike.
You could be the filter. If you could go to Grace's show, you'd be the first line of defense.
And then I'll make a decision. Yeah.
You do the thumb thing. Yeah. Like,
you're
that's
like the bouncer for my show.
How about you, Dave?
Yeah, going to also be in Melbourne for Black and White, new show, full run. And then I think right now only locked in Sydney Comedy Festival, which is I think in May. And we're going to work some stuff out for Brizzy soon as well. At Dave A. Woodhead on all platforms. Get around it.
What's your middle name? Is it Alan?
Adam.
Okay, that was close.
I thought you it sounded like you were saying, ah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's just, ah.
David, ah, Woodhead.
Yeah, mum stuffed her toe in the middle of naming me. And hey, it's just cute how it all flowed together.
Stick around. We talk so much nonsense during the recording of the show that the editor, Connor, will put at the end. So stick around if you want to hear about probably mainly Dave vaping and Saran asking for a water. But cheers for tuning into Who Knew It with Matt Stewart. Now that you know it, I've been Matt Stewart. Goodbye. No, it's still been it's been worked on. It probably might come out down the track. So maybe we'll have to bleep out that spoiler alert.
Oh, sorry. Oh. That we did a podcast. Oh, right. No, that the house won.
The dastardly house.
The house always wins, I thought.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Wow. That's
historically.
Yeah.
Going into the show, that's what I was hoping, but it's just not working out that way.
I mean, I once won $600 at the pokies.
Oh, sick. You know? How much did you lose?
Let's not get into it. Okay. You know, I'm trying to have a good time with the podcast. no, but this one's paying $50 a year, Matt.
Yeah.
Yeah, perfect. Well, yeah. I'll win it all back. Yeah. You give me 20 minutes and a can-do attitude.
Yeah.
You got paid for the 50. The 50 was for the podcast that will never see the light of day.
Look, as long as I'm getting $50, I don't mind.
Also, I keep getting like sports bet ads on my TikTok algorithm, and it's so funny to watch because there's such a specific kind of ad, because they have to be like, yeah, gambling's fun with your mates and sports, and this is an activity we could do. Hell yeah, man. And I'm like, what? I've heard the Whitlams. Yeah. Go fuck yourself. Yeah.
But then afterwards, they'll hit you with the, no, but seriously.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oi.
But check it. But watch yourself.
But also, you could lose it all.
Yeah. Keep in mind.
It's like going, man, you guys, after this, man, let's go out. Let's get fucked up. All right, let's get fucking drugs. Let's go crazy. But also, we could all die in a car crash.
So yeah. Watch yourself. So just, check both times before you cross the road.
So also, but you know, alcohol is a major leading cause of death in this country. So should we drink tonight? Like, that's kind of what every gambling app is.
Beer ads are like that too.
Now you mention it, better odds to just go gambling, I reckon.
You know what? If you go out, a night out, and you go, I'm going to spend $100 a night out, all right? And you either go, I'm going to go buy $100 of drinks, or I'm going to go straight to the pokies and put that in. You're going to lose $100.
Yeah.
But with $100 of drinks, you're fucked up.
Now you lose your day.
Someone bumps into you, then you get into a fight, and that's it. So it's probably statistically more safe.
Yeah.
This is brought to you by the pro gambling lobby.
But then obviously the immediate downfall of this plan is once you lose that $100, oh man. And you've got another $100 you could pull out. That's exactly
and
right.
All, yeah.
And then you're stressed and now you're buying a drink and now you've wasted.
It feels a bit like a false dichotomy, like you've got two options.
Yeah.
You got $100, you've got two options. One is boozing it away and the other one's gambling it away. There's no third option of just, you know, having the money,
look,
putting it in your pocket.
Here's the thing. I was strictly for this scenario of the hypothesis, or is that, the hypothesis, what's safer for a night out, gambling or drinking?
Mm.
Of course,
gambling, you think?
Well, of course, doing neither.
At least you're in one big room.
Like, you know, like, what? Also, staying in and reading a book.
Yeah. Buying $100 worth of novels.
Oh, I mean, yeah, if the world was made of fucking cotton candy, that would also be awesome.
It's like when I say that I think parents should, like, I think it's better, I recommend parents have depressed teenagers, because I was a depressed teenager. We didn't go out, you know, I just stayed in my room reading Sylvia Plath, terrifying them. Like, you know, we didn't party. I wasn't getting pregnant, you know. Ideally, neither is a good scenario, but, you know, at least you knew where I was.
That's it.
I was indoors.
Yeah, under the covers, scared.
Yeah.
You always find it scared.
Hurting myself, but I was indoors.
Yeah, no.
I'm not getting snatched, that's for sure.
That's it. But I think also opposite. See, I think when, that's also a dangerous game as well. Because if you have a
depression?
Scare, yeah.
Yeah, it's the most dangerous game. It's hunting human beings and then having depression in that order.
But if you have a depressed little teen who likes to have a little walk, where are they?
That's me. That was me entirely. I'm the perfect kid. I don't know what anyone's complaining about.
All right. Yeah. Well, what about the ones who like to loiter?
Yeah. So I was less of a loiterer.
Yeah. See, you got to think about these loiter kids. Yeah. Loitering was big in Darwin.
Yeah, of course.
Did they have the classical music outside of the shopping centers and stuff like that? Is that...
That supposed to perturb teens from loitering?
It scares the teens away.
That was more... They had that in Catherine.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, not really at Casuarina Square. They might have them now, but like there was a specific period, I think, like... Like 2006, I think My Chemical Romance was out.
Right.
And
eyeliner
everyone,
was afoot.
Oh, man. And all the kids from CSC, Casuarina Senior College, they would all finish their right next to the Casuarina Square. So they just all smoke cigarettes in front of the shops and have fights near the bus stop. They were all little emos. Yeah.
Darwin,
baby. Too fucking. They'd all be wearing long black pants. It's so fucking hot. It's so hot. Yeah. Them faces melting. I'm like, no wonder you're depressed, mate. Chuck on some fucking footy shorts.
Yeah. Well, those poor Kiss performers I imagine they've never performed in Darwin.
No, they have.
No, fucking hell. Yeah, that must be a nightmare.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, it would have been awful, like the 80s and shit.
I'm so glad I don't have a look that requires like any kind of paint or like a jacket. Oh, suit wearing comedians.
I feel so sorry for the cat guy in the Kiss group, because they would have had the idea, let's make face paint. Yeah. And then he didn't know that they're going to be doing that for the next 50 years.
Yeah.
No, I wouldn't have picked the cat one.
Yeah, it's like he did his as a joke. Yeah. And he goes, hey, we have that photo shoot now. Yeah. Like, oh, fuck. He's trying to go, I'm the dog.
You're not the dog. You're at home like practicing makeup. You got like fucked up eyeshadow on, and then work is like, can you come in for a shift? You're like, I was going to have a shift. Okay, yep.
What are you?
I'm made up. I'm like, look like an avatar. Like,
there's the star child, the demon, the spaceman, and the cat. That is so funny.
Man, not the cat.
Here's the odd one out. Peter Chris. Yeah, he was fucking
him. To that.
And
It's like
backfired. Maybe that's why I left the band.
The demon's got the big tongue, you know? He's like doing
your classical traditional clown has like specific makeup. And it's like, I think there's like a kind of inventory of clowns. Like your makeup is like,
we've talked about that on this show before. Yeah. There's a museum, I think in London, and they're all painted on eggs.
Yeah.
And that's sort of like, basically the copyright for the clown's face.
You can't do anyone else's clown makeup because it's yours. Yeah, but the cat guy was like, I wasn't attached to this. I didn't want this for my life.
Please. Got to get Ben Russell's right of reply on a future episode to this. I'll play him this little clip.
Yeah,
what he says. He'll probably say fair enough.
To be honest, he's one of the... He's cool, you know. He knows what it is.
Then we'll get his right of reply to you announcing him the spokesperson for all bad improv.
look, and I'll say this, and before, I guess comedians are losing their leg to stand on here with the improv shit, because I mean, we've gone, you know what the best shit is? Crowd work.
Yeah.
Crowd work fucking sucks.
Man, and also, I hate it because TikTok has terrified every audience member. They all think comedy's about being harassed now because some guy can only put up clips because he doesn't want to burn his material, or he doesn't have material, of him doing crowd work and being like, hey, where do you come from? Are you fucking? And I'm like, now my audience thinks I'm going to fucking stab them personally.
Yeah, they're looking around for the hidden cameras.
So far back, they can't even see me anymore.
Yeah, and
they're like, I know there's a little tripod somewhere.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
As soon as you walk into a show, you see the $5 Kmart tripod.
We've become Big Brother.
We really have.
Yeah.
We're all snitches. I mean, I think it all...
We are, yeah. Comedians are snitches.
We're snitches. What's happening. Oh, hell...
Can't let anything live in the room.
Also, it's like, don't tell anyone I said this. Meanwhile, like, my phone's recording.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, it has done the past 5 hours.
Yeah.
5 nights.
Yeah, we're in Adelaide for the Fringe at the moment. Last night, Ferran was talking about his partner, and the guy goes, is she white or brown? And then after the show, he came up to Ferran and he said, I just thought you needed to be doing more crowd work, so I thought I'd get you going.
Yeah, he used to do comedy as well. So if anyone,
his instincts are
thanks for. I was like, yeah, thanks for the tip.
Nothing I need more than someone pointing out my differences from others while I'm on stage.
Yeah. What I will say though is, I wish there was a little tripod set up because I fucking wrecked him.
Yes!
You did. He very quickly went, no, don't. I forget I said anything. Yeah. Like within 20 seconds. He was like, forget I. That was really funny.
But for real though, is she?
Okay, the answer is she's white with a brown fetish.
The correct response. Yeah.
She's got brown fever. Is that
the yeah, thing? Yeah.
That sounds like gastro. No, that's not the right.
That can't be right.
Yeah, that's
all right, fever. So.
Also, before, is it? Cool, and totally tell me if it's not, if I hit my vape.
Hit it. Oh, I mean, sorry.
Yeah. Is that right? Sorry for this nicotine addiction as well. Gambling.
Keep all this in.
Is this allowed to go in? Connor's editing, so let him know if you want any vape references to be chopped.
It's probably fine.
Because it is like a heroin vape,
isn't
it?
This is the episode of the podcast that is a cautionary tale. Mm. They should play it in schools.
I think I've said, I've said it on air.
That, like, you're vaping?
That I vape.
I think it's the thing that brings you and Ben Russell together, you know, crossing the divide.
Yes.
You were two guys who aren't afraid of vape inside.
Dude, and see, that's the fucking... improv stand up.
Yeah.
Hey guys, guess what? The war is over. Me and Ben Russell just shit. Ben Russell let me hit his vape in Melbourne this year. It's over, dude. We can all be friends again.
He looked me in the eyes and he said, you're not so different.
Men in comedy have one thing in common, and it is disrespect for shared spaces.
Man, I was fucking.
Is this too much to ask? Grace, could you please pass me my water?
Yes.
Oh, my Thank God. That's...
No, the other one.
The one that looks like it was found on the ground.
The ration water? Yeah.
Okay. I get more judgment than the vape.
He only drinks found water.
Can we edit this bit out? Connor, I'm not comfortable with it.
That looks like the amount of water in a plastic... It's like sort of... An inch of water in a plastic bottle with no lid. It looks like the amount of water I collected, like, on a scout camp when we had to, like, get
condensation.
Yeah, condensation of like a off a piece of foil or whatever. Yeah. How you do that?
Our Airbnb has no mugs. Okay, we're making do with
there's a couple staying here, right?
Yeah.
Hey,
you know what's actually wild about society is that I'm gonna get into it. When
they don't give you a lot of time to do this on Triple J.
Yeah, man. So I just want to wrap with you for a minute.
Yeah,
just let me thank you for your platform so I can say this. When I pulled my vape out and hit it, I faced little backlash. When Sorrent wanted a sip of water, we roasted him for 5 minutes. And you know what? If that's not where this whole fucking world is going, I don't know. You know? And I'm sorry to be part of the problems. And I'd also like to say... My throat's a little dry.
Got a little hit. Yeah, I think that's good water.
Is that all right?
I mean, Soren didn't like the look of it.
It's Nippy's water. Soren is very anti-Adelaide
right
now.
I just assumed that was your water because I haven't drunk from it.
I don't recall it.
It's loose. It's unclaimed water.
It's good.
You're our first two guests as well, so if it's not one of ours, I'm confused.
Yeah. Hey, well,
in some ways, water is the human addiction. Everybody is addicted to water.
No one's talking about it.
No, you're Dude, you're so fucking right.
I feel like it's like one of those like sport, like those like gym dudes who try and tell you that fruit is bad for you because it has sugar in it, being like, you guys are addicted to water, man. You got to live without, you got to learn to like, in your animal instincts, you need to kick in and be dehydrated.
I genuinely believe that that's, you will start seeing that in like 2 years.
Oh, I think in like 3 months. I might have already seen it. They're maniacs.
Yeah, it's always something. It's always something.
They're always promoting a diet that's like, this is the perfect diet. And I'm like, you seem constipated because all you eat is cheese.
We're addicted to cutting stuff out.
I just want to go like, I'm on the carnivore diet and you wouldn't believe how much my stress has gone down. I'm like, how stressed?
You're yelling.
We're used to getting that stressed out by a little salad next to your steak and fucking mashed potatoes, dude, or whatever.
You think lettuce is your problem? Yeah. It's because your wife left you. That's what's stressing you out.
I've been in Darwin. Sick,
The water there.
Beautiful.
Delicious.
Oh, delicious.
Delicious.
I thought you meant the seawater. Yeah.
No. The water, like the drinking water.
Oh, yeah.
Seawater as well. Straight from the tap, eh?
What about the Melbourne water?
Melbourne's all right. I don't mind Melbourne water.
But Adelaide water, is that what got this going? No good?
Yeah. Just this...
It's just
tinny, this Ren said.
Tinny. I reckon it's soft. Whereas I reckon Melbourne water is crisp. And it's sort of like, I don't know, it's almost like slight, like a very little bit of sliminess or something. Do you know what I mean?
The Melbourne water.
No, in the Adelaide water.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, there is a slime factor.
Just like a real subtle sort of, whereas it just, Melbourne water is crisper. But I guess it's just what you get used to.
Adelaide water is the saltiest drinking water in the country.
Right.
I think they have a problem with salt because it's so little rain here.
Oh, yeah.
No.
Sorry, Connor, for so much editing.
No, I think you can just chop those bits out in full. But I mean, I think there was some good water
based
stuff there.
Bit of a good water riff, yeah. Yeah, a lot of good. As soon as whoever owns those copyrights, I mean, they must be getting up there.
They're dead, certainly. Dead.
Blinky, whoever created Blinky Bill isn't still kicking.
No.
Right, no.
He was carrying a bindle around.
Yeah.
That guy's dead.
Yeah, damn dude.
Actually, I think it might have been written by a woman.
You know, they've got an original Blinky Bill puppet at the ABC.
Really? Is it terrifying?
Fucking scary.
Yeah.
It's one of the scariest things.
Hate to hear the words original puppet.
Yeah. Like, especially like, you know, because if you're at the host, when we do the host 100, you're there at night. And it's on level 3. So if you go out to the balcony and you come back in, it's just like there and it's just like looking at you.
I'd be even scared to see like Big Ted and Jemima in the dark.
Oh, yeah.
Humpty Dumpty. Holy shit.
Yeah. I'd kick him in the head.
Yeah.
He's angry. He had a big fall.
Okay.
You guys seen Bagpuss?
No.
It's like a British show about a pink cat. I don't really know the vibes of Bagpuss. I never saw the show, but my uncle gave me a toy of Bagpuss. Like of this, I had a soft toy of Bagpuss, but I'd never seen the show. I think British people will know what I'm talking about. It's very classic. And I was looking at him the other day, and then I was looking at the cat, the Moggy, the cat from the
Mintigliana from Ferrells.
Yeah, from the Ferrells. And then there's Bagpuss.
Oh my gosh.
Harrowing. But I was just thinking about it. It was like children's entertainment used to be about saying, how fucked up can we make a cat?
Yeah, it really
was. Let's get a cat. Let's fuck it up, man.
You remember Old Tom?
He's one of those. Old Tom is a fucked up cat.
They fucking abused Old Tom, dude. He had like a fucking, I mean, like he had like a fishbone always hanging off of him.
Always a fishbone. He was like half.
One of his eyes were gone.
Half of the shows on ABC 3 when I was a kid were about what if a cat was fucked up?
Yeah.
What if it was Old Tom is like a junkie cat?
Yeah, it's just honestly the whole time I'm watching Old Tom get into his adventures, I'm just like, just put him down.
Come on, man.
he's Old Tom's not. He's not getting back up as much as he used to, mate.
I'm not sure. I'm stressed out. I'm
You're
not
doing
enjoying
this more for you than you are for Old Tom.
Old Tom has been hit by a car 3 times.
It's like when my parents moved over here from New Zealand and they would go to pubs and every pub band would play K-San by Cold Chisel and my mum would cry because she's like, this song is so sad. Mm. And everyone's like dancing around like it's the most voice. It's about PTSD. It's like, oh, we'll never feel home again. And it's like everyone's like making out to it. Like, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, that's like, you know what? That's like the Angels, Am I Ever Gonna See Your Face Again? The lyrics are gorgeous.
Yeah.
It's such a beautiful song. And I thought it was about...
It's a beautiful song musically. Yeah, it's very nice.
I thought it was about also... I thought it was about like a lost love. I think though... And again, I might be just making this up, but I think it's about his like sister who passed.
Oh my God.
So, and it's, you know, it's harrowing. And I look into the rain and, you know, whatever the lyrics are.
None of them
but
were
then,
you.
And then every time they play it live, just because it was the 80s and you played in pubs, these fucking dudes who can't feel anything instead went, no way, get fuck off. Yeah. It's like, no, mate, just sit with it.
Australians can't handle emotion on any level. Yeah.
How about you go to the concert and you think of her?
Yeah.
And you just, and you cry. Cry with it.
The poor fucking angels.
Yeah, the poor angels.
Just a nickname. It doesn't have to be.
Sorry.
Come on, Saran.
I was listening to the conversation.
You're just tapping away on the couch.
I didn't write anything.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Nothing. He has no nickname. They say his full name every time.
I was trying to remember what his name was.
I just read everything.
No, I didn't. I couldn't think of it.
We're learning. Saran is not good at this game.
I think he's the second most regular guest as well. Like he's on all the time. People love having him here. I think it makes listeners feel more comfortable about how they're playing along.
Their own
home.
Guesses, yeah.
He's a soothing presence.
Oh, yeah. I think, I know, it's just a pronunciation. Yeah, pronunciation. I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
Oh. If you're going to guess, Grace, as to who's last to get their answer in, who would you guess?
I would say Saran.
Oh, my gosh. You're right.
He's running the screenplay.
He's doing dialogue.
Yeah. I mean, I would say I don't think I'm going to win. So I'll say my answer falls apart pretty quickly. My movie just loses the plot. What else is happening?
Yeah, what else been going on? Have your shows been going?
It's been good.
Mm.
Second last one tonight.
Same.
Yeah, feeling good. I'm excited for Melbourne.
Great. You know,
just to fully be able to sit in it for the month.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. I feel like a week is too short.
Yeah.
Mm. And then like, are you guys doing 2 weeks in Melbourne? You're not doing
a full month.
You're doing a full month. Yeah.
We're doing a full month.
Yeah.
But for Adelaide, I started last Friday and I end on Sunday. So I kind of did a week and a half.
We're the same actually.
Yeah.
Oh, is that what we do? Yeah, I think we're all because you guys.
Yeah, with the weird two days off. We had
it's so
Sunday and Monday off.
I had a show on Sunday, but yeah, then I had Monday off.
That
I was weird how much I was like, oh, a day off, because the last festival I did was Edinburgh and it was like, there was only one day off. It was just the show every night.
Right.
And I remembered that here you get Mondays off every week. And I was like, it was kind of luxurious, actually.
Yeah, Sunday and Monday off felt like too much time off. But.
Especially because you feel like you're going to get momentum from two shows and then it just...
Yeah, no, and then it started. And you kind of have to start.
Tuesday was rough.
Yeah.
Tuesday was rough.
Yeah, Tuesday and then the late show at the Rhino Room was all... That was a real low point. Connor, please leave that in.
All right, here's the final question. What is the plot of the 19th in the... Fucking hell. Hey, while you're still writing your answer, let's go for a quick break. I can't control you guys.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.